He's Brian Snicker, and he joins us from Mesa, Arizona. Is that right?
That's it.
A little stopover on your way to the West Coast. So thanks so much for being with us. And Brian, hope you had a good, 5-6 weeks in Florida, right?
Yeah. No, it was great. Everything's went about as good as you could do it. You know, I think the guys they're about spring trained out about now, so
yes.
They're ready to get going. And it's been a really cool last couple of days here, coming out to Scottsdale and playing the Cubs, and you know, we've had a lot of fun with that too.
I'm going to ask you for a second, big picture, 30,000 feet, about your legacy. I know you probably don't want to talk too much about it, but you are going to be of the age when Bobby Cox finally walked away from the Braves. He was 69 years old. You'll be 70 in October. Your 10th season managing the Atlanta Braves. Do you ever think about the legacy? It's been a decade now. A guy that spent, 30-something years in every walk of the Braves organization and you know, do you ever sit back and think how wild it is that now you're entering your 10th season running this ball club?
Yeah, I do. I took a walk the other day around the park there in Northport in our complex and kind of reflecting on things. And, you know, you sit in your chair sometimes and wonder, you know, number one, where'd the time go? And, I do that. And you know what? I've been blessed to be with such a great organization and to have a family that's allowed me to do this.
When you were – I asked Mike Smith when he got the Falcons job, did you always dream about being a head coach? He said, I always said be a great linebacker coach, be a great D-back coach, be a great defensive coordinator, and life takes care of itself. Is that the feeling you had all those years in the minors or in the majors as a base coach? Was being the manager the North Star, or was it, I don't have time to think about those things, I need to just do a great job every day?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know what? I took it a year at a time. I took it a day at a time. And, you can get caught up looking at the big picture, and that's a lot of things that you can't control. So the thing I could control was my job that day. And then I kind of am looking at this right now. I mean, I think if you look ahead and all that, you're going to get lost in what you're supposed to be doing at the moment. So I've always been kind of just taking the day at a time type guy.
What's incredible is the fine line that life is, as you know, as we get older, the three of us here talking, that there's so many instances, a different GM, guy that, maybe wasn't a Brian Snicker guy, you could have been moved different places, you were moved different places, like all the things that had to happen for you to sit back and not only get 10 years, but win a World Series, be a legend in this town, which is what you are now. But so many things could have gone the other way along that road.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't know actually when, I've been through a few, like you said, general managers, different changeovers. This last one, I didn't know Alex. He didn't know me. We kind of been fortunate and I love the guy. I mean, it's everything that he brought here, but it could have went any way, and I was prepared for that. I understand that's how the game is and the business is. And, it's just things could have just it could have taken a turn any number of times over my career, all the recycles and everything that I've been through and whatnot. And it's just sometimes I think just things are meant to happen.
Brian Snicker with us. Getting ready for the Braves to open their season against the Padres on Thursday.
Brian, how many spring trainings is this for you?
48.
Wow. Amazing.
I would assume you guys weren't eating as well. Probably didn't have a nutritionist, a chef, 25 different people within, taking care of you guys. Do you ever look at some of your guys and go, what it was like 40-something years ago in wherever? They wouldn't believe it, would they?
No, I said my first 2 years, my locker was a hook on a wall. We used to stand on pallets when we took a shower so we'd be off the floor. I mean, you'd find the buffets so you just stuff yourself so you didn't, you'd get through the game. And you know what though? Yeah,
you wouldn't change a thing.
Those were really good times. If you want to know the truth.
You know, you hear people that get extremely successful, top of their game, like you are, managing a major league team, flying private, best hotels in the world and everything else. Or you hear really rich guys be like, you know what? The journey there was absolutely as much fun, and in some cases more fun than actually getting there, the destination, because you don't know any better when you're on those buses or you're in those, you know, when you're at the Piccadilly cafeteria just loading up on carbs to say this will get me through the day.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's I reminisce with a lot of guys that I worked with, coached with. We talk about it all the time, how much fun we had back in the day and when things weren't that great. And like you say, there was a lot of long bus rides. There was, you know, the hotels that had the window box air conditioners that you couldn't breathe when you woke up in the morning. There's so much mold coming through those things. And, you know, those were really good times. You know that? It's like when we had kids, I was married and had kids, we'd go into a town and Ronnie would go to a consignment store and buy a set of bunk beds and we'd sleep for the kids and we'd sleep on a mattress on the floor. And, you know, I'd get the master suite or whatever because I had kids and the pitching coach and the trainer would be in the other two bedrooms of the apartment. And, you know, there's no cell phone. I'll tell you what, it was pretty simple back then. There was no cell phones. I don't know how we made moves, quite honestly, which was probably a good thing. We couldn't make the moves in the minor leagues, so we were forced to leave the players there, and they learned how to play.
Right. Yeah, you're not shopping guys around in Double A. You just hope they show up for work every day, and you assume they're there. Brian Snicker with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Ian Anderson trade, was that something you guys had been thinking about watching him through spring training? How did it eventually come to that? And obviously he leaves a bit of a legacy as well.
No, that had literally happened in the middle of the game that he was, when he was pitching. I sent him inside and we took him out of the game. So you know what? I'm happy for Ian. You know what? It didn't look like he was going to make our club. I love that kid and what he meant to our organization and the person that he is. And he didn't have a great spring. I mean, we probably weren't going to be able to carry him. So I think this was a heck of a lot better than maybe having to set him downtown. You're going to designate him. So I wish him nothing but the best. Like I say, there's not a finer young man on the face of the earth than Ian Anderson. And hopefully he can get things turned around out in L.A.
Brian Snicker with us live from Arizona on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brian, I heard Chipper talking on the broadcast about Jurickson Profar, and he said the first guy that grabbed me when I got to camp was Profar, asking him about switch hitting, how did Chipper do it, and he was like, Chipper was so impressed. Can you tell us kind of behind the scenes what Profar's meant to spring training?
He's been unbelievable, I think. I mean, he's fit right in from day one. He's just got a great attitude. I mean, he's always smiling. He's a great teammate. I think he's going to be a really good add for us in our lineup. And when we get Ronald back, that, you know what, it's going to be really deep, and that lineup is. And he's been fun to be around. I mean, he loves to play. He loves to work. You know, I think he's one of those guys, he's not going to get tired. He's going to get sleepy, you know, and I think he expects to play every day. And you know, he's, like I say, he's fit right in here. I mean, I haven't had or been around a kid from Curaçao that wasn't just a wonderful person, and they're really bright and guys that just, you know, they appreciate everything they have and they love to play.
Brian Snicker with us as the Braves start their season on Thursday. A lot of the scuttlebutt or conversation nationally is Brian Snicker's number one job is to get Chris Sale and Spencer Strider to the postseason healthy, and doesn't matter what he does for 5.5 months. It sounds like a kind of a ridiculous narrative, and you know better than anybody, that's not the way you can manage full-time, but it is a different era. So when you see those two and think about those two and you hear that, what goes through your mind in terms of keeping them healthy all season?
Well, I think we did a really good job of that last year, and, you know, nothing we did was the result of, you know, Chris not being able to pitch. It was just a freak thing. I think we do a really good job of giving guys extra days, and I think that is important. You know, you got Chris at his age, and he got through so good and last year. This was Spencer's first big league camp. as well as he did last year. I didn't even know what he looked like till he showed up in Atlanta. And, you know, so, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be new territory for him too, navigating, you know, this season. And we'll do everything we can to try and protect those guys and within reason. I mean, we still got to go out and win ball games and you know, but I think organizationally we do a really good job of taking care of these guys.
Yeah. How do you feel about Ronald? Obviously, everybody listening all over Atlanta, he's the babe, the boy. When do we see him doing his thing at Truist Park, in your estimation?
Yeah, you know what? I don't really know. We're not going to put timelines on things, because when you do that, then you got to, you know, it's like, well, then why didn't he meet this timeline? And he's doing good. I mean, he's there. He's getting a lot of game at bats. It's just the running, the cutting, the starting, the stopping are things that he's still training to be able to do. So when he's able to do that, then we're going to plug him in. And hopefully when, you know, by the time he gets here, he's ready to go full bore. So, it's just one of those things that they're going to do things right. We're going to, you know, this is the second time. I think Ronald's had a great attitude all spring. He's been unbelievable. And he's working very hard and diligent. And you know what? We're going to love it when we get him. And, you know, hopefully it's sooner than later.
Let me follow up with that, Brian, because I heard you on Major League Baseball Network talking about you weren't sure if you were at a spring training for Major League players or for American Legion. And I thought that hit so hard. Is that something different for this group, that they're just having a blast together, or is it like that all the time?
Yeah, it is like that all the time. These guys like to play baseball. I said, what a novel idea that they're having fun playing baseball. You know, I mean, they like to work. They enjoy the competing. I've never seen, you know, and it's been like that for a while here, where these guys just, they enjoy the competition and you know, they're fun to be around. They make it fun for myself and the coaches and just how hard they are and how dedicated they are to what they're doing.
Drake Baldwin remind you of anybody?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been thinking about that. That as a left-handed hitting catcher, you know, Max got to come to mind. I mean, you know, he's kind of advanced where he's at, just like Brian was. And you know, this kid's been very impressive this spring. You know, we're going to start this thing up Thursday and see where it goes. But, man, he's had a nice camp, and he's done a great job with our pitchers. They like throwing to him. The throwing has been really good. I think Eddie's done a great job with him. And you know, it's just, he's a very impressive young man.
That'll be fun for you to watch him opening day at Truist. And, you know, man, it's a special place when you're, you know, a rookie in that situation and everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for that first at bat. We've seen him over the years. Hell, we've been here for Hayward and Francoeur and Freddie and all those guys. But he's going to have that moment when everybody's looking at him, you know, in about a week and a half.
No, he is, and I think he's prepared for it. I mean, he's another one that, you know what, we've done a good job. We've developed him. He's went through the organization, played at all the levels, did some international play this winter, and he's a great young man. I mean, he's very bright. He's got a good baseball sense about him and willing to learn. And he's in the dugout, you know, between innings, talking with the pitcher, talking with Cranny, going over sequences, stuff like that. And he's a quick study. So I'm excited, just, you know, like everybody else is going to be when we see him get that first at bat here in San Diego in a couple days.
All right, before you go, let's take I know the relationships in baseball are some of the most special things, including Bobby and that relationship and history and everything else. I want you to pick a city. I want you to pick a restaurant, steakhouse, Italian, whatever. I think you're leaning those directions. You get to be with, I'll give you three or four baseball guys. Can't be Bobby, but maybe it's coaches. You know, these aren't players. These are guys you worked alongside. Where are we going to dinner? Who's with you? What kind of night are we having? And are we, you know, Are we telling Ronnie we're not going to be feeling good the next morning? Give us, what's the scenario?
You know what? I got a new go-to restaurant, too, and it's in Sarasota. Marcello's Italian is probably one of the greatest restaurants I've ever been at.
Wow.
This guy, Marcello, he cooks by himself for the restaurant. And it's unbelievable to sit there and watch this guy and to watch him work. And the food is just phenomenal. You know, like three guys that I would probably like to be with. I'd love for Hank to be there because he always appreciated that good food and good wine. And you know, another guy that I've come to know, and it's really cool for me to talk to, especially in the wake of, you know, Bobby not being there, is Jim Leland. You know, I really enjoy nuzzling up to him, and you know, it's really good baseball conversation. And the third guy, there's so many of them, I tell you.
One of your coaches from the last 10 years, only one gets to be at that table.
That'd be Walt.
Yep.
I mean, he's my rock, man. I'd love to experience everything I can with that guy. He's just the most wonderful person. And I always tell him I'd break out in hives every year at the end of the year when I see his name connected with a managing job. And I'd be calling him. It's like, you're not really going to leave, are you? And you know, I'd just be in a panic because he's so important to me.
That's good stuff. A nice little chicken marsala with Hank Aaron, Jim Leland, and Walt Weiss. So life is good. Hey,
there you go.
I hope the grandkids are doing great. I know they'll have fun this season, and your family as well. And thanks for coming on to start the year every year.
Well, I appreciate it. I always appreciate being with you guys. Thank you very much.